from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says online single submission to be a major reform to ease business permit. MICTA contributes a lot in the UN peace mission. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo affirmed that online single submission will be a large-scale change program in the business permit system in Indonesia. He views that the permit system will be applied in an integrated manner from the central to the regional levels. In the limited cabinet meeting at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java, on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo said that the system of online single submission will cut the bureaucratic chains of permit attempts as it uses a modern registration model. In addition, President Joko Widodo also asked his staff to be able to ensure that online single submission can be a friendly system for the users, considering that this program is a digital technology-based reform program.
Sebuah perubahan besar-besaran untuk
This is a reform, this is a massive change to make all permits from the central to the regional areas be really integrated into a unity. It is by using a more modern, faster registration model with integrated data systems, there is no need to go through many bureaucratic chains. Because of this digital technology-based reform, I ask the system to be really carried out. It can directly be used and it's friendly for its users.
Jalan dan langsung bisa digunakan dan ramah bagi penggunanya.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo hopes that the implementation of this program can be supported by human resources that are more responsive. The purpose of this system is to ensure that permit services at both central and regional levels can be further enhanced. In addition, the president also reminded that the reform of the permit system through online single submission can be supported by simplifying the permit process to adjust the speed of the business process in accordance with the objective to implement the online single submission. Countries incorporated in MICTA's informal cooperation, namely Mexico, Indonesia, South Korea, Turkey, and Australia, are considered to have significant contributions to the United Nations peace mission through the deployment of peacekeeping forces. The number of dispatch of peacekeepers, such as the sending of women peacekeeping troops, continues to be increased by the United Nations. This was stated by Director of International Security and Disarmament of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Republic of Indonesia, Grata Endah Werdaningtyas, in MICTA panel discussion on women and peacekeeping in Jakarta Thursday, April 19, 2018.
And if you look at the data, all five MICTA countries has been currently has contributed around 3,500 peacekeeper around the world with more than 100 female personnel. So this is for us, especially Indonesia, is a very good thing for MICTA in peacekeeping, and I think in line with the ambition of the Secretary General to increase the number of female peacekeeping, I think it's important for MICTA also to work together and have a discussion on trying to find solution.
Greta Endah Werdaningtyas further said that female peace troops have several advantages compared to peacekeepers who are still dominated by men. She also said female peace troops are more easily accepted by local people who are experiencing conflict. In addition, they are also considered easier to win the hearts and minds of local people and more effectively in protecting local people from sexual exploitation and acts of violence. Jakarta Vice Governor Sandiaga Uno said that the Jakarta City Government supports the Jakarta City Philharmonic 2018. This was disclosed by Sandiaga Uno in his speech at the Jakarta Philharmonic Concert in Jakarta on Wednesday, April 18.
Kita akan mendukung terus Jakarta City Philharmonic.
We will keep supporting the Jakarta City Philharmonic. This community is participative and collaborative part. After 1 year, the Philharmonic community has successfully created a good initiation. It is time for Jakarta government to attend and support a very positive activity for the people. In addition, Music Committee of the Jakarta Arts Council, Aksan Suman, said that the Jakarta City Philharmonic was formed to equip Jakarta as a metropolitan city. Just like any major city in the world, the presence of a professional orchestra is a cultural necessity of modern metropolitan city. Indonesia and China continue to strengthen comprehensive economic cooperation. Both countries have agreed to develop a number of industrial development projects outside Java Island, as stipulated in the One Belt, One Road program or the Silk Road. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto, through his statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, April 18, said that he was discussing the development of cooperation between Indonesia and China, especially in the industrial sector, which has been running. This was disclosed by Minister Erlangga after meeting Chinese Ambassador to Indonesia, Zhao Qian, in Jakarta. He also said that the two sides will synergize in the development of industrial estates in North Sumatra, North Kalimantan, and North Sulawesi. This investment potential is in line with the Indonesian government's efforts in developing industrial areas outside Java. This news comes to you over RRL Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia was present with its excellent food and beverage products at the Biennial International Exhibition, Alimentaria Expo Halal 2018 in Barcelona, Spain, from 16 to 19 of April. The Embassy of Indonesia in Madrid through Trade Attaché and Indonesian Trade Promotion Center Barcelona participated in the international exhibition on which 10 Indonesian food and beverage companies were present. Indonesia has been active to open the market opportunity of Indonesian products to Spain. The Information and Social-Cultural Coordinator of the Indonesian Embassy in Madrid, in his statement on Thursday, 19 of April, hopes that through this exhibition, the Spanish business people are more interested in Indonesian food products. So this exhibition may bring about a concrete impact to the increase of trade and strengthen the economic diplomacy of Indonesia. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the Alimentaria Exhibition 2018 was opened by Minister of Health, Social Services and Equality of Spain, Dolores Monsterrat, accompanied by Director General of Industry Spanish Food, Fernando Burgas, and Mayor of Hospitalet, Naria Marin. Indonesian Ministry of Industry has encouraged the completion of Indonesian Trade Free Trade Association Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, EFTA-CEPA, which is expected to expand the export market for industrial products of both sides to be complementary and mutually beneficial. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto, through his statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, April the 18th, said that the cooperation negotiation will be held in Jakarta in May. After meeting Norwegian Fisheries Minister Per Sandberg along with Norway's Ambassador to Indonesia Vegard Kale at the Ministry of Industry in Jakarta, Minister Hartarto stated that both of them agreed to accelerate the finalization of Indonesia EFTA-CEPA as a comprehensive economic framework. EFTA is an alternative trade bloc for European countries that exclude in the European Union. And the last item, thousands of delegates of International Monetary Fund, IMF, and World Bank, or WB, will hold an annual meeting in Bali from 12 to 14 of October. Those who will come, including journalists and overseas social organizations, will be granted visa-free and free cost. As reported by Antara News Agency, Head of Public Relations and Directorate General of Immigration Agung Sampurno, in a press release in Jakarta on Thursday, April 19, said that all visas will be given upon arrival at the immigration check sites Ngurah Rai in Bali and Soekarno Hatta in Banten. He also said that the Directorate General of Immigration is given the task of expediting the movement of 18,000 delegates and participants from all over the world. Agung added that to ensure the smoothness of the event, hundreds of immigration officials will be positioned at two main immigration checkpoints, namely Ngurah Rai and Soekarno Hatta airports. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says that online single submission is to be a major reform to ease business permit. MICTA contributes a lot in the UN peace mission. And listeners, that was the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is The Trend of Human Development Index in Indonesia Increases. Indonesian Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, on Monday disclosed that the Indonesian Human Development Index, HDI, in 2017 reached 70.81, or an increase of almost 1% compared to the previous year. When viewed from the trend side, there is increase in Human Development Index in Indonesia every year. By 2015, it was still below 17. In 2016, it increased to 70.18, and in 2017 to 70.81. Head of BPS, Suharyanto, said that Indonesian Human Development Index is currently included in the height category. However, there are still significant inequalities such as between Jakarta and Papua. The calculation of HDI is compiled using three dimensions, namely health as measured by life expectancy indicator, the knowledge or education measured by the expectation, and the average length of schooling. The last indicator is decent living dimension approach in accordance to per capita expenditure. Meanwhile, UNDP Country Program Director for Development, UNDP Indonesia, Christoph Bauer, said that the rise in Indonesian HDI shows there has been a lot of progress. The step towards head human development is inclusion and reduction of gaps, especially for remote provinces and between men and women. For the government, the BPS report on the side of in HDI is quite encouraging because it means that the policy of Nawacita, the 9 prioritized development program, has given a significant correlation. Even so, the government's homework is still waiting by accelerating the equality of development, especially in eastern Indonesia. The Human Growth Index is closely linked to the Sustainable Development Goals SDGs adopted by the UN General Assembly in September 2015. Indonesia itself supported with provisional regulation on the implementation of sustainable development in July 2017. This is closely linked to Indonesian development. The orientation of development is an not only physical but also non-physical one, which in the end it will improve Indonesian Human Development Index. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our Google program Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start from an event on April 19, 1962, about establishment of Hansip. The government of the Dutch established an organization which was on duty to protect people from enemies' air attack. In the past, it was known with the name Luchtvaartbestuursdienst, LBD. After the Dutch occupation in Indonesia ended, LBD has been changed to be civil defense since 1943. When being changed to be civil defense, its duty was to defend and mobilize people. This organization was formed until the smallest community unit, namely RT or Kumi, during the Japanese occupation. After the independence of Indonesia, the decree of Defense Vice Minister or Defense Security Affairs was issued on April 19, 1962 on regulation of civil defense. With the regulation, civil defense or HANSIP was officially established. Since 2002, HANSIP has changed its name to be People's Protection, which function for people protection and disaster management. The next event was in 1971 when Salyut 1 was launched. Salyut 1 was the first space station of its kind launched into low Earth orbit by Soviet Union on April 19, 1971. This station also became the first station on Salyut program, which until now is applied at International Space Station. The first crews, which were launched in Soyuz 10, failed due to failure of docking mechanism. The second crews were launched in Soyuz 11 and were on Soyuz 1 for 23 days. Unfortunately, a pressure balancing valve in Soyuz re-entry capsule opened too early when the crew returned to the Earth and killed the crews. Salyut 1 entered its atmosphere on October 11, 1971. And the last event was in 2005 when Josef Alois Ratzinger was installed to be Pope Benedict XVI. Pope Benedict XVI is the fancy name of Josef Alois Ratzinger, a German. He has served as the 265th Pope of Rome Catholic Church since April 19, 2005 until he resigned on February 28, 2013. He was the Bishop of Rome, the head of the Vatican City State and the Roman Catholic Church, including the Eastern Catholic Church in communion with the Holy See. In the age of 78 years old, he was the oldest Pope who was inaugurated within the last 275 years since Pope Clement XII. On February 11, 2013, Benedict XVI announced his resignation as Pope with the reason of his health. Effectively on February 28, 2013. He was the third pope in the history of Roman Catholic Papacy who resigned after Pope Celestinus V in 1294 and Pope Gregory XII in 1415. Well, listener, that was Student History read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to the segment of My Indonesia. Today, we'll bring a topic about Ciletuh Geopark. It's designated as UNESCO Global Geopark. Ciletuh Geopark Pelabuhan Ratu was officially designated as part of the World Geopark Network or the UNESCO Global Geopark. This is a new history for tourism industry in West Java. The information was conveyed by West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan at Ciletuh Geopark Pelabuhan Ratu Fun Day toward UNESCO Global Geopark at Palangpang Beach, Ciletuh Geopark Pelabuhan Ratu, Ciwaru Village, Chomas Subdistrict, Sukabumi Regency on Sunday, April 15. Ahmad Heriawan also said, in addition to Ciletuh, the UNESCO also ratified 12 geoparks from 11 countries as UNESCO Global Geopark. The ratification was implemented in the 204th session of Executive Board UNESCO, Program Commission, and External Relations on Thursday, April 12 in Paris, France. Two of the 12 geoparks, Ciletuh Geopark Palabuhan Ratu and Rinjani Geopark in West Nusa Tenggara Province. Ahmad Heriawan also said that his office has obtained the information from the Head of Tourism and Culture Office Sukabumi, Budiman, as West Java representative in the meeting. He said the process of determining Geopark Ciletuh Palabuhan Ratu into the UNESCO's Global Geopark Network is fairly fast. Usually the process taken 10 years after the establishment as the new national geopark. Ahmad Heriawan said that 3 years ago, Geopark Ciletuh Palabuhan Ratu was designated as the national geopark by the central government and directly submitted to UNESCO as the UNESCO Global Geopark, and it was accepted. The handover of Geopark Ciletuh Palabuhan Ratu certificate as the UNESCO Global Geopark will be conducted in September 2018 because the decision has already existed, and the certificate will be awarded simultaneously in Portugal. Ahmad Heriawan moreover said, "This is part of the commitment of West Java provincial government to increase the development of tourist destinations in West Java." Therefore, Ahmad Heriawan asked for commitment of all parties, both the provincial or district government authorities, stakeholders, and the people, to preserve the existing tourist objects. For connective road infrastructure of the Geopark Ciletuh Palabuhan Ratu, the government of West Java Province has already issued a budget of 96 billion rupiah in 2016 for the road segment from the Waluran entrance to the Geopark. And in 2017, it will also be built the road from the entrance of Loji to the Geopark with 217 billion rupiah budget. Ahmad Heriawan said, this year the West Java government added another 90 billion rupiah fund to build the road to the Geopark area from the direction of Paltiga. The governor said the central government has also prepared the construction of the airport in Sukabumi, because one of the requirements of international geopark must be equipped with the airport with 3 hours maximum mileage. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo affirmed that online single submission will be a large-scale change program in the business permit system in Indonesia. He views that the permit system will be applied in an integrated manner from the central to the regional levels. Countries incorporated in MICTA's informal cooperation, namely Mexico, Indonesia, South Korea, Turkey, and Australia, are considered to have significant contributions to the UN peace mission through the deployment of peacekeeping forces. The number of dispatch of peacekeepers, such as the sending of women peacekeeping troops, continues to be increased by the United Nations. Jakarta Vice Governor Sandiaga Uno said that the Jakarta City government supports the Jakarta City Philharmonic 2018. This was disclosed by Sandiaga Uno in his speech at the Jakarta Philharmonic concert in Jakarta on Wednesday, April 18. Indonesia and China continue to strengthen comprehensive economic cooperation. Both countries have agreed to develop a number of industrial development projects outside Java Island, as stipulated in the One Belt, One Road program, or the Silk Road. Indonesia was present with its excellent food and beverage products at the Biennial International Exhibition Alimentaria Expo Halal 2018 in Barcelona, Spain, from April 16 to 19. Indonesian Ministry of Industry has encouraged the completion of Indonesian European Free Trade Association Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, EFTA-CEPA, which is expected to expand the export market for industrial products of both sides to be complementary and mutually beneficial. And the last item, thousands of delegates of International Monetary Fund, IMF, and World Bank will hold an annual meeting in Bali from October 12 to 14. Those who will come, including journalists and overseas social organizations, will be granted visa-free and free cost. And listeners, that was News in Brief. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce rendang, the world famous typical meat food of Minangkabau. Stay tuned. Rendang, or in Minang language is rendang, is one of traditional Minangkabau culinary of West Sumatra, which uses coconut milk and meat as the main ingredient with rich content of spices. This spicy food is popular among all people and can be found throughout Padang restaurants in Indonesia, Malaysia, or in other countries. Rendang is well known throughout Indonesia. Even the delight has come to the international world. This is evidenced with coronation of Rendang Padang as the world's most delicious food by a survey conducted by CNN. Even a burger restaurant had made Rendang Burger in 1987. The cuisine sometimes better known as Rendang Padang, whereas Rendang is a typical cuisine of Minang in general. Listener, a record about rendang as Minang traditional culinary began to be written at the beginning of the 19th century. But according to the historian of Andalas University Padang, Gusti Asnan, rendang is estimated to have existed since the 16th century. Due to the trip through the river and takes a long time, rendang may be the right option as food supply. This is because the dried rendang is very durable for months. So it is appropriate to be stocked when wandering or in commercial journey. Rendang is also called Hikayat Amir Hamzah in classical Malay literature. It is proven that rendang has been known in Malay cuisine since in 1550 or in the mid-16th century. Rendang increasingly famous and widespread far beyond its original territory thanks to the culture of wandering of Minangkabau tribe, Minangkabau people, who go abroad. Besides working as an employee or trader, many of them open Padang restaurants throughout the archipelago, even extending to neighboring countries in Europe and America. Padang restaurant then introducing rendang and other Minangkabau dishes widely. Listener, that was the regular segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Rendang, a typical meat food of Minangkabau. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia in My Language program as media to preserve Indonesian regional language. Hello listeners, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman in My Language. In today's edition, we are going to take you to visit Maluku Province to know more about Hitu language. Listeners, besides being rich in natural resources, Maluku Province, as a home of Hitu language, also has tourism destinations such as Ora Beach, Ngurblot Beach, Tual City, Amsterdam Fort, and the World Peace Gong. In Maluku, tourists can find a wonderful place with a beautiful scenery and add historical knowledge. The number of Hitu language speakers decrease every year. If it is happen continuously, Hitu language will be extinct. But the government doesn't keep silent. Through the Language Development Agency under the Ministry of Education and Culture, Indonesia continues to revitalization efforts along with Hitu people. Listener, here are some examples of Hitu language. Orasila, orasila. In English, what time? What time? Saatle, saatle. In English, now. In English, now. Kahu, kahu. In English, nine. In English, nine. Husalima, husalima. In English, 15, 15. Waktu, waktu. In English, watch, watch. Manesa, manesa. In English, prices, prices. Here is an example of conversation in Hitu language. The conversation is between Laimena and Nuku asking about time. Laimena, orasila Nuku. In English, what time is it Nuku? What time is it Nuku? Nuku, apei yawa alahime. Apei yawa alahime. In English, let's see. Let's see. Saatle orasiwa kahu menit hasulima. Saatle orasiwa kahu menit husalima. In English, it's 9:15 now. It is 9:15 now. Laimena, iyo yau waktu e salahu manesa. Iyo yau waktu e salalu manesa. In English, is your watch always prices? Is your watch always prices? Nuku, iyo yau waktu e salalu manesa. Iyo yau waktu e salalu manesa. In English, sure, my watch is always price. Sure, my watch is always precise. Sure, my watch is always precise. Laimena, terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. Thank you. Listener, make sure you send your criticism and suggestion to our email address, voi@voinews.com. voiceofindonesia.org.id or our Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was today's edition of My Language, as media to conserve regional language variety in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from The Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present nostalgic pop songs from Bob to Topoli. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Kerinduan by Bob Tutupoli.
Jangan kau lupakan diriku.
Bob Tutupoli began to be known among Indonesian music lovers since he dedicated a song Widuri. The song, which was composed by Slamet Adriadi, remains popular until nowadays. It can be seen from many Indonesian musicians who arranged back the song Widuri, like Yuni Shara and Dallon. The song, which was released in 1977, tells about a man who adores a beautiful girl, Widuri. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Widuri by Bob Tutupoli. Happy listening.
Cahaya sinar pelangi, lalu engkau tersenyum. Ku menyesali diri, tak tahu apakah arti senyummu. Dengan melusak titik air mata, engkau bisikan derita. Dalam keharuan setelah tahu apa yang terjadi. Sekian lama dan kau hidup seorang diri, ku ingin membalut luka hatimu.
The singer with full name Bobby Willem Tutupoli often received award during his singing career. In 1978, with Gray Simon, he was elected to represent Indonesia in the Exchange of ASEAN Artists. Then, in 1980, he became the first winner of the 1980 Popular Song Festival and represented Indonesia in the International Festival at Budokan Hall, Japan. Well, to make your listening pleasure, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Tinggi Gunung Seribu Janji by Bob Tutupoli. Enjoy the song.
Memang lidah tak bertulang, tak terbatas kata-kata. Tinggi gunung seribu janji, lain di bibir, lain di hati. Takkan lama, hanya satu hari saja. Seribu tahun tak lama, hanya sekejap saja. Kita akan berjumpa pula. Terbatas kata-kata, tinggi gunung seribu janji, lain di bibir, lain di hati. Aku pergi takkan lama, hanya satu hari saja. Seribu tahun tak lama, hanya sekejap saja. Kita akan berjumpa pula.
Listener, the song Tinggi Gunung Seribu Janji is one of the most successful songs in the music industry. The song, which was composed by Ismail Marzuki, tells the story of someone who breaks promises to the lover. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Jangan Pernah Berkata by Bob Tutupoli. Happy listening, listener, and sampai jumpa. Bye for now.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Katakan salahku padamu hingga di kau pergi, hanyalah ku ingin di kau sadar. Sampai hari ini ku tetap misalkan kau telah bahagia dan ku turut gembira, tetapi bila kau setiap hari selalu teringat akan diriku, hatimu padaku. Katakan salahku padamu hingga di kau pergi, hanyalah ku ingin di kau sadar. Mengapa tiada maaf darimu, mengapa tidak kau maafkan, mengapa ku bertanya, mengapa tiada maaf darimu, ku tahu pasti hatimu padaku. Katakanlah sayang, salahku padamu hingga di kau pergi, hanyalah ku ingin di kau sadar. Mengapa tiada maaf darimu.
Kenal nama besarmu, semua bibir mengisahkan itu. Engkau pembela kaum wanita, menempuh derita. Walaupun kini telah tiada, tetap berkobar di dalam dada apa yang kau ajarkan semua demi derajat bangsa. Kartini, namamu terukir di dalam hati.
dalam berjuta, hanya engkaulah satu, oh Kartini. Kau menjunjung tinggi bangsaku, engkaulah teladan abadi.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.